This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Please welcome
Rich Eisen.
0-4 Bears, go figure that.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What the hell is happening in Chicago? And if Justin Fields wants to stay in Chicago, he better keep winning. Because Caleb Williams is coming.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, comedian Lewis Black. Coming up, NFL Network analyst Gerald McCoy. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's a fact. These are facts, and there's the proof. I just showed up on the Roku channel stream. You know, it's an odd way to start an hour. I understand, but just the way I roll, right here on the Roku channel stream. We're live on Sirius XM Odyssey, this Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us. We appreciate anybody who calls in at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We will take your phone calls later on in this middle of this hour. The association is, as the kids say, lit. James Harden is apparently on his way to work out with the Sixers. That's happening.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes. Yes.
He has to. He's
so
going to work.
It's possible he lied to China. I don't know, but that's a larger geopolitical question, which we'll handle later on in this hour. Because right here in studio to kick off our third hour of the show, my colleague, my compadre from NFL Game Day Morning, NFL Network, wearing the hat of my favorite baseball team, the Yankees. Gerald McCoy, longtime Tampa Bay Buccaneer, and so much more. Good to see you, sir. How are you?
It's great to be here. Colleague. Hey, listen, I believe the last time we spoke, we talked about that.
Yes, we did.
We did.
You were on the phone, and I'm like, you know, because you had just done the broadcast boot camp, I think. Right,
yeah,
or
well,
you're
I
about
was,
to do it?
I had done it a little bit prior, a few months before, probably a month before. Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
And now look at us.
And we was like,
now
you know,
look
well,
at us.
I told you I'm going to try and keep playing, but after, if it doesn't work out, then. And you told me we will welcome you.
And now look at it.
I know, right?
It is great. And, you know, it's great to have you on the show because obviously we need somebody with a defensive point of view, and I need somebody who picks games worse than me. So it's great to have you on the show, Gerald.
I am having a hard time.
See, that's how this is not called hazing. This is not. This
it's
is
not.
The way I would say it to Irv. I'd say it to Kurt.
Hey, listen,
I'd say
early.
I've been with guys
it
I've been
early.
With a dozen
hey,
years.
I don't pick games bad. Some games I pick with my heart. Like
it hasn't been
be
great.
Honest.
It hasn't been great.
I picked the Raiders games all year with my heart. I will be honest. I didn't do my due diligence with analyst work.
It's
I just
right.
said Raiders. Yes, Raiders. Now the Bucks.
Look at
I
you.
I don't care how anybody feels about it. I've only been wrong once.
That's
so.
By the way, when you said in week one, game day morning, Tampa at Minnesota, you're like, I'm going to pick the Bucks every game this year.
Every game this year.
Kurt, Mooch, Irv, and I all shared a look, you know, and we're like, okay, welcome to the show,
see.
Gerald. Now look at you. Look at you. You've got a 75% hit rate
hey,
one
listen,
month in.
Not only that, a month in, and our game got flexed. How about that?
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, the Lions and the Bucks, week five, got flexed into the late window on Fox.
Motown is coming to the Bay.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
What is clicking, do you think, that didn't? Is it all Baker? Is it Baker?
I think that Baker.
And I know, because again,
listen,
it was Brady last year
listen.
I believe
that the roster is still talented. Prior to Brady, the roster was talented. When Brady was there, obviously, it's Brady. He gives you a boost. But I think that Baker has a point to prove, and I think he's a lot better than what was shown because of what was around him. He had talent in Cleveland. I'm not talking about the talent, but people forget that Baker did go through an injury.
He sure
and
did.
And it's hard to work through an injury as a quarterback. As much as you want to, you may see something, but if you can't get your body to do it, that's why a lot of people retire. Our eyes and our mind might see it happening.
Mm-hmm.
But even like take Ali. He said there was a time where I could see the punches coming. I couldn't get my body to move to get out the way of the punch. And Baker was at a point to where he was injured. He couldn't make the – but if you look at how he's operating his offense, I mean, he's doing it. The defense has always been good since, you know, coach has been there. But I just think they click it right now. Now, it's early. I remember, I think it was 2015, maybe 2016, Atlanta started 5-0, and then they won one game the rest of the year. So it's early, but right now, looks great.
Well, I think, you know, Brockman, you can attest to the fact that I am a big Baker Mayfield fan on our Overreaction Monday podcast. Yes, that is where all podcasts can be acquired. You said he was like my third son.
He's your third son.
Right. And I know you're
he
an Oklahoma.
Baker Mayfield.
I know you're an Oklahoma Sooner. You're an Oklahoma Sooner at heart. But did you just compare him to Muhammad Ali? Did I just hear that?
I did not. Okay. I compared.
I compared
being able to get your body to do what your mind sees coming. You know, sometimes our bodies are like, yeah, screw you, mind. I'm not doing it.
But Baker has shown up like the flag planting stiff arm and not shaking Hugh Jackson's hand type stuff, man.
When people count Baker out, you know, he had the struggles he had at Cleveland. But people forget often, because we're in the NFL story now, this was a walk-on who became a Heisman Trophy winner. So when we talk about his heart and his fight and what makes him and the chip he has on his shoulder, that hasn't left. So he plays the game that way. And that's what they needed in Tampa, because it was a point to where everybody, well, Brady's gone, now what? Well, let's not forget the talent that was there. And we have somebody that believes. And he's shown with his belief is carried throughout the locker room. Now they believe in him. Mm-hmm. And they believe, hey, we got a guy that we can believe in. We don't have to worry about. We'll do our part. He's going to handle his business.
Gerald McCoy here on the Rich Eisen Show. So I'll ask you the question we've been asking each other for years, and in particular, you know, over the first 4 weeks, and then certainly coming off of last night's game, where Daniel Jones is now in year five, year six. He looked like the way that he looked. Geno Smith, as we all know, is the reigning comeback player of the year. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the first comeback player of the year where he's not coming back from injury, just being benched. He's coming back from lack of opportunities. Yeah. So why is it so tough to find 32 starting quarterbacks in the National Football League, Gerald McCoy? What do you think?
You know, this game is extremely, extremely, extremely difficult, and it will humble you. It does not matter how good you've been your entire life. At the highest level, you can't just out-athlete everybody. And a lot of quarterbacks come in with the mindset of, oh, I've always been good. I can just do it how I've been doing it. And that's not how it works in this league. If they say you have to be the smartest guy in the room, that's the quarterback. That is, without a doubt, you have to. You have to know everybody's assignment. You have to put in the work. And sometimes you see people be in practice and it's like, oh, we got us a guy. But when those lights come on and those live bullets start flying and you know somebody can hurt you, you know, it gets in people's heads. And that game moves a lot faster. I always tell the college guys coming in, your national championship is our preseason. That's how fast the game moves. So when a guy comes in and is playing like C.J. Stroud is playing, it's like, well, Jesus, that guy's – he's got something, you know. But – this game is so difficult and is always evolving. You have to learn to evolve with the game. And you have to – Warren Sapp told me after I made my first Pro Bowl, he said, okay, now that you've made one, you have to start stacking them. The only way to stack them is you can't be the same person every year and be successful, because people will start to figure out this is the best players, the best minds at this sport. So every year you have to evolve. And some people don't know how to evolve, or – when the lights come on, it's just too much for them.
And then, of course, there's the pressure. There's the opportunity as well. Again, not just Geno Smith. Just take a look at, say, somebody like Jared Goff, right? First overall pick.
Yeah.
Second team, when he was traded to the Lions by the Rams, the offensive guru genius of Sean McVay is turning you down. Like you,
absolutely.
And you help get to a Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Right? And obviously there are many reasons, team game, why you get to a Super Bowl. But when Goff got traded to the Lions, it's just like, okay, he's been banished essentially by an offensive guru. He must be no good.
Right.
Now look at him. Like year eight, he is efficient. He is dangerous. He is confident.
His team is too.
Right. And so it's just an age-old question, because you see running backs come out of college. You see defensive ends come out of college. You see wide receivers come out of college, although not so much the class so far for the first 4 weeks this year. You know, and now all these great quarterbacks in the Pac-12 just alone, you're sitting here thinking, okay, the future's bright in the NFL, but it's 12, 15 guys every year. It's just the same thing every year. And that's why I figured I'd love to ask somebody on the other side of the ball who can see that fear and taste it, who's played a position like, say, Aaron Donald making Geno Smith scream, oh, my God, you know?
That was fun.
So, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I figured I'm wondering what's up with this?
I even tweeted yesterday. I said, Zach Wilson has all the skills and talent to be a really good quarterback in this league, but his decision-making and confidence is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And when pressure hits you, like you said, sometimes that can make or break a person. And when I think about the pressure that a quarterback has to face, I look at it like a combat sports, or boxing, MMA. When you go into the fight, you know you're going to get hit. But what makes the fighters great is knowing they're going to get hit but not being fazed by it. This is what I signed up for. I'm going to get hit, but I'm good too. So when these quarterbacks go into these games and they start to – that pressure starts to hit them, they have to say, okay, this is just a part of it. I welcome that. But then sometimes, guys, systems make the player. Like, every quarterback, just because you have a certain skill set or your skill, doesn't mean every system fits you. That is not true. You can't just take every quarterback and put them in any scheme and say, hey, he's skilled. I'm going to put him in this scheme because he's skilled. No. Your scheme does not fit his skill set.
But system quarterback Gerald McCoy is like, it's an insult. Call somebody a system quarterback, right? And technically, isn't Tom Brady a system quarterback? It's just the system he's happy to run because he knows it. Manning ran a system that no other quarterback could, which is why when he went out with a neck injury, you know, the Colts lost a ton of games. Yeah. The Rodgers' system coming in to this year is something that I've heard for four straight broadcasts every single quarterback or analyst that's in the booth, former quarterback or analyst, that former player in the booth, say they had to switch from Rodgers' system because he runs it a certain way, pre-snap, post-snap, in the huddle. Zach's trying to figure that out. You know what I mean?
So, the quarterback, you could create a system that a quarterback gets used to and what makes them. Example being Brady, I think we can all agree, is the greatest to ever do what he's done. Mm-hmm. When he first got to Tampa, there was a lot of ups and downs. It's going to work.
They were 500.
And I said on an interview then, in order for this thing to turn around, they have to do what Brady loves to do. Run the ball, play action, screens, and then everything will open up. And sure enough, they went and played Atlanta. They had the bye week.
Yeah, they did.
They had the bye week.
After losing to the Chiefs.
Yep. And they came back, and the whole offense was different. And they didn't lose the rest of the year. Because they said, hey, listen, we've been trying to make the greatest of all time play in this scheme instead of letting him do what fits him. And they started doing what fits him, and there's nobody could stop him. There's nothing wrong with that.
And suddenly he's throwing trophies on a boat, you know.
Yes.
Gerald McCoy here on the Rich Eisen Show. So who are your elite quarterbacks? Name the elite quarterbacks.
Elite?
Yes. You would consider elite quarterbacks in the NFL. Is Tua elite in your mind?
Not yet.
Why?
Because in order for me to consider you elite, I got to see it more than once, and we've seen it for three games.
Not even last year before he got hurt?
No.
It's not enough?
No, in order to be elite, you have to have a full season, and then I have to see it twice, two full seasons.
So Hurts is not elite yet in your mind yet? Hurts is not elite
not
yet?
Not elite. He's really good.
Is Dak elite?
No.
Why not?
I mean, we question Dak's ability to protect the football every year. Elite quarterbacks, we don't have that question every single year.
Josh Allen is elite.
Yes.
Obviously Mahomes is elite.
Yes.
Is Herbert elite?
No.
Why?
What have we seen Herbert do that's elite? He's been really good, but in the playoffs, have we seen Herbert be elite? They had a historic game, and he was on the wrong end of that last year in the playoffs, right?
Is Lamar elite?
Yes.
Why?
He's an MVP, and he's, if you look at what he's done with the system he's been put in, his win to loss ratio with all the injuries and everything he's dealt with, and they still come out winning every year, that's the elite quarterback.
But he hasn't won, you know, we haven't seen him in an AFC championship game yet.
Yeah, but I mean, in order to win Super Bowl, a lot has to go your way, but that doesn't make you not an elite quarterback.
Okay, let's keep going with this. Burrow's elite.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. This is a good one. Brock Purdy, is he elite?
No.
Come on, man. Why would you even laugh? Why would you laugh while saying no?
Brock Purdy's not elite.
Why not?
Come on now. Brock Purdy's playing well. He is, but Jesus Christ, man, that roster's incredible.
Hold on a second. Roster's incredible. There's so many other rosters that are incredible.
He's playing well, and he's better. Here's what I say about Brock Purdy. He's more than what we gave him credit for. Brock Purdy is not just not losing the games anymore. He's actually winning games. And in order to take that next step as a quarterback, you have to go win games. You can't just not lose them. And I think we can agree that with his run that he's been on, he's legit. Elite? No. It takes a lot to be elite. I mean, one guy's elite, he just didn't get to play four snaps. You know? You know what I'm talking about. I mean, Frank,
yes,
he was throwing passes on the sideline.
Who you're referring to, Gerald?
Yeah.
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
Here's the thing. There's a lot of terms we use too loosely, and we give it to people too easily. You know, like, I worked hard to be an elite defensive tackle in this league. It took a lot for me to be considered elite because I did it on a team that wasn't winning, and I still was able to produce playing from behind. And I don't think people understand how hard it is. Like, that's why T.J. Watt, I put him where I put him because week one, they were losing badly to San Fran. He still had three sacks. Do you know how hard it is to get three sacks when you're playing from behind? They're not passing the ball.
Right.
So in order to still be a guy in a small market that people don't see you and still be considered, that's very difficult. Well, so I don't pass the word elite very easily. I just don't.
It's tough to get sacks on a team that's quarterbacked by an elite quarterback like Brock Purdy. See, here's where I'm going on this. Okay. Is that he might not be considered elite.
Right.
But he's playing elite quarterback.
He's playing at a very high level.
He's playing at elite level.
He's playing at a high level.
Arizona Cardinals are coming in. They want to put our pelt on the wall. I'm going to go 20-21.
Who?
I know 20 of 21.
No,
make fun all you want. You got to beat the teams in front of you. You got to ask the man in the corner about the Arizona Cardinals and how they couldn't beat Dallas Cowboys. Couldn't beat them. Hold on, I'm not done.
I'll let you finish.
Okay.
They caught us.
I don't know if you noticed this. There's not a producer in our ears saying go to break like there is on Sunday.
Yes.
Okay.
You're right.
All right. So here's what I'm also saying is that his play has removed the whole conversation of what happened with Trey Lance from the table. Gone. That's gone.
Okay.
His play with the contract that he has allows them to pay Bosa, and a whole bunch of other people are going to get theirs because of what he's doing playing elite quarterback at the rate that he is being paid.
Okay.
Put it all together.
Yes.
And the fact that he's not losing games for them. And I understand we haven't seen them down 7, 3.5 to go. Can Brock Purdy go 80 yards with only one timeout? We haven't seen that yet. And I totally pick up what you're putting down right there. But the way that he's playing and what he means for this team and how this team is playing around him, he's an elite quarterback.
Okay. Can I ask a couple questions?
Yes. Now the floor is yours, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
Does he have a top 10 player every position on offense?
Debo Samuel, he's not top 10?
When Debo Samuel...
Hold on a second. Hold on a minute. I'm going to answer your question. Debo Samuel, top 10. Christian McCaffrey, top 10.
Okay.
Trent Williams.
Okay.
Okay. George Kittle.
Okay. Yeah. What about his fullback?
He's top 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does he have defensive player of the year on his team?
Okay, so you're saying because they're all that good...
Does he have the best number two in football right now?
So you're saying Brady had a bunch of guys with name tags. Peyton Manning would, you know, did it with Dominique Rhodes and stuff like that. Is that what you're saying?
Brock Purdy's a front runner.
No, I understand what you're saying.
I never said that. What I said was he's not elite. I've said Brock Purdy is legit.
But Brock Purdy
but
is
elite?
Top. Brock Purdy.
Elite?
Right now, hold on a second. Let's keep going here. This is too good. Brock Purdy right now is top 10 in the league in quarterbacking.
Yeah, he is.
He's a top 10 player himself.
This doesn't make you elite.
Okay.
He's good.
He's good. He's
I'm
playing
keep pounding
well.
This drum.
Playing
I'm not going to stop
really
pounding.
He's playing really good football. Yeah.
He's
that
played,
doesn't
he's
make you elite.
10 games, 11 games.
That's what I'm saying. That doesn't make you elite.
But he's playing elite quarterbacking, right? Like he is.
He's playing really good. He's not elite.
He has 5 touchdowns.
He's playing really good. He's not elite.
If he was playing elite, he'd have 12 touchdowns.
I have nothing bad to say about Brock Purdy.
Except the question is he elite?
No, he's not.
Okay.
I have zero bad to say about Brock Purdy. Well, that dude has proven everybody wrong that said he was just a guy.
We were talking. We were talking before. Who's a more sensitive fan group, 49er fans or Swifties? That's what we were saying before. At any rate.
Yeah.
What else before I let
people
you go?
People killed me because I said that there wasn't a hold on Jermaine Johnson.
That wasn't a hold on Jermaine Johnson?
They're not calling it.
What does that mean? But Joe, okay, he's waving his arm like it's a fair catch.
Okay, did Jermaine?
He's like, hey, I'm being held.
Now answer me this. Did Jermaine Johnson look like he was trying to really get off the block?
He couldn't.
That's because the offensive lineman had him here. I don't care if the jersey is, you may see the jersey being pulled. You've never seen the offensive lineman's hands do this. His hands never extended, not once. If I shift like this and my arms never extend, they're not calling holding.
So was it a defensive holding call on Sauce Gardner?
No.
Okay.
I don't think that should have been called either.
Guess what? The 3rd and 22 wouldn't have happened if the ball was picked off. Look at him.
Hindsight.
This guy 3-1. Behind his Sooner bake.
I just know, like, you know, what we doing in Tampa. That's what I do know.
Okay.
Max Crosby's elite.
Oh, there's no question about that.
I just want to throw that out there.
Okay, let's do this real quick, and I'll send you throughout the day. Max Crosby's elite.
Elite.
T.J. Watt.
Absolutely.
Nick Bosa.
Absolutely.
Joey Bosa.
Yes.
Okay.
He's elite.
Okay. Quinnen Williams.
Think about it.
Okay.
He's thinking.
No, I don't want to say he's not because he. Yeah, I'm gonna just say yes.
Okay. Obviously, obviously, Micah Parsons is elite.
Absolutely.
Obviously, Aaron Donald is elite. Who else? Who am I missing here?
How about the mutant that's in Cleveland?
Yeah. Oh, how could I forget him? Yeah. We've talked about this on Game Day Morning. Yeah. 2 tight ends traveling.
I've never seen that before. He's a mutant in Cleveland.
I'm sorry, I forgot Myles Garrett.
He is a mutant.
Yeah. You are correct.
He is. Chris Jones.
Chris Jones is as well. These are all elite pass. How about this? Matt Milano. He is elite.
Sure.
What does that mean? Sure.
I mean, if you say so.
Okay.
I mean, this is your show. I can't
tell you.
Is
Aiden Hutchinson, is my guy from Michigan elite?
Is Aiden Hutchinson elite? No, he's not. He ain't done it yet.
Well, ask Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love if he's done it yet.
Okay, everybody else we name has been a first-team All-Pro. Am I lying?
Pretty much.
Has your guy from Michigan even made a Pro Bowl yet?
It's his second year in the league.
Give me some time. Now I'm tired of this conversation.
Does he have an elite trajectory?
How about Jalen Carter? Yes. Is he elite?
No.
Okay. Fletcher Cox is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, Fletcher's. I mean, if you want to, once you have the elite tag, you are. Fletcher's an all-decade player.
Oh, once you get elite, you can't lose it? Is that what it is?
I mean, you can lose it.
It's like a Marine. Once you're one, you're always one?
You can lose it, but, I mean, Fletcher's Fletch. So I'm never going to say he's not elite. He is.
Well, enjoy your next 2 Sundays off while I'm in London.
I won't be off. I will be up extremely early.
Where are you going? Are you coming? Oh, you're doing the pregame, right?
I'll be up at 2:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to enjoy it, but I'm going to enjoy coffee, too. Kurt and I will FaceTime you from the field.
Yes. Oh, man.
Gerald, it's great to have you here. Let's do this more often.
Wonderful being here. This is incredible. Anybody who doesn't get to see this in person, you're missing out. This is great. I've done the phone. It doesn't do the interview justice. This is incredible.
I love having you in person.
I had a blast. This was great.
Good to see you. It's great to have you on Game Day Morning. And we'll chat again soon.
Yes, sir.
Okay, it's Gerald McCoy right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Latest from the association and your phone calls in a moment. Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports. the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell us about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's so fun and so easy. You know I love this stuff. You pick two or more players based on their stats and place their entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks, boom, you're part of the action. And they have weekly promotions that can lead to big prizes. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. I'm more invested in the outcome and I get real-time updates. Like this weekend, you know, if I'm thinking about a certain Indianapolis quarterback going over his rushing yards, or maybe a Pittsburgh receiver getting more than his allotted catches, there I am, boom. I love it. I love Prize Picks. You should too.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code PIGSKIN. That's code PIGSKIN at prizepicks.com/pigskin. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
So you guys don't have unique names.
What do you mean, see? You guys? What do you mean by that?
I'm just saying. There's no one saying, oh, Tom Brady won the Super Bowl, I'm going to name my baby Tom. That's not how it works. Tom is too simple. Shaquille, Alshon, these are unique names that people will name their kids. I promise you. Steve, am I right?
Steve is not laughing. He's not looking at you, and he is leaning as far from
the mic as
possible.
Steve is a regular name.
Well, that's not
Steve. Is a regular name.
Steve is the name that folks can pronounce.
Oh, see, now Steve got another name.
Wow.
Steve, what's your other name?
My real name, which is three people call me, my mama, my grandma, and my wife, is actually Steve-on.
Now,
S-T-E-V-O-N-N-E.
Now, Steve-on, Steve-on. Had you used that name? Had you used that name, right? You're the legend you are. Had you used that name, do you know what would have happened? In any city you played in, everybody had a baby with a name, their baby, Steve-on. You know what would happen. You know what's up. I don't care what city you played in. Carolina, Baltimore, whatever city you played in, that city would have had babies with that name.
Santa Monica.
Every time you score a touchdown, they'd be like, I'm naming my baby Steve-on. Well, right? You know him, right?
Well, Steve-on, thanks for coming on, Steve-on. Thanks for coming on, Steve-on.
You got it, Rich.
Even mentioning that name right now, a few light bulbs went off. This baby is due tomorrow perfect.
Y'all some dirtbags.
Oh, my gosh. That's fun stuff. All of J.B. Smoove and Steve Smith's appearances are on our YouTube page. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. That was fun stuff with Gerald McCoy, huh?
Very good, very good.
Great Geraldini here. Terzo and I has been hanging on forever and a day. All rise. What's up, Terzo? How are you, sir?
Well, I've been doing better, but you guys are just calling my fan base entirely sensitive.
You are not representative.
I'm a Swiftie, too.
You are not.
So I'm kind of getting a double blasted here.
Yeah, I get it. But you are not representative. I'm telling you, man, the number of people that I got at me because I was saying that I heard that Trey Lance was basically losing the quarterback battle and looked too choppy in preseason play for that. I was concerned he was not going to, you know, be even the backup. Oh gosh. I got so much full blast of, like, I guess that what the the Lanceys, right? And you got Swifties, and then there were the Lanceys, you know? And now everybody, like, where are the Lanceys now? They're all like, who cares? Brock Purdy's 4-0. He's amazing. You know?
There's one on the set with you, TJ, over there, but...
He's a Lancey?
We got more pressing problems coming up Sunday night.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
What do we got? What do we got?
Yeah.
The guy who once gave you a ticket to...
$2 bet, TJ.
I ain't got no issues this weekend, all right? None.
You know it's going to be a tough one.
And, yeah, I mean, look. Yeah. Look, we have not proven we can clear that hurdle. So until it happens, I'm not expecting Dallas. Yeah.
That's it.
They got to beat them first.
What else on your mind, Terzo? Anything else?
Well, at this point, I am super excited because I didn't get to talk to you guys at the end of last week, but I am extremely excited for Dame Lillard to be in Milwaukee. And I know, I think like 2 years ago, I was trying to get him there saying that they should trade just about everything to do it, but I'm happy that he's there now because this is going to be a fun NBA season.
Well, the Portland Trailblazers certainly put their stamp on the Eastern Conference. Thanks for the call, Terzo. They certainly did. Sending Lillard to Milwaukee and not Miami. And then in turn, flipping Jrue Holiday, who they got from Milwaukee, to Boston. To put Jrue Holiday in Marcus Smart's spot with Brown and with Tatum and with Porzingis, who they got in trading away Marcus Smart. What a...
Yeah, buddy.
What a Houdini act that was.
Love it.
And so...
Let's go.
This was Damian Lillard in his arrival in Milwaukee.
Obviously, I'm a pick and roll player. I've played a lot of pick and roll in my career. And when I think about playing with him, I'm just trying to figure out how do you defend it, you know? I haven't played against a lot of coverages where teams aren't at the level of the screen, whether it's showing, trapping, or just being there to where I got to get the ball up. And I can't imagine them wanting him to have the ball, you know, at the free throw line coming downhill with an advantage. And Chris on the wing and Brooke, you know, you got really good players out there. So I've definitely thought about it, and I just don't know how you handle that. And I think it's going to be something that teams have to put up with and try to figure out. But I'm excited. You know, I think it's going to be a lot of opportunity for me out there because of who he is and vice versa.
What a complete coup for Milwaukee. Within 2 weeks of Giannis saying, I don't know what's going on here. I need to see some winning. Was that one of the first times he's basically fired a significant, I might not, like full Magic Johnson, I might not be here type shot across the bow? I mean, he's kind of hinted at it, but never like flat out, like I need to see something. And so Giannis has got to be over the moon as well. And this is going to be tough to stop. And just seeing him there, too. Here's Giannis on playing with Lillard. You got that?
Yeah. Obviously, you know, big trade. Having Dame here is definitely we add levels to our team. And we, you know, as you said, top 75, one of those guys that can score 60, 70 in any given night, All-NBA, All-Star, you know, MVP caliber player. But at the end of the day, like, Drew was a big part of who we were. And even with Drew, we had the chance to win, you know. But I still understand, like, now we have Dame on the team, and Dame is a great player, and I'm looking forward to play with him. And he's hungry, as I said. He's, you know, he's out there. He's hungry. He wants to win his first championship, so I'm excited that he's on the team. And definitely, I feel like the team have showed, like, you know, they've showed that they're committed to win a championship. So I'm happy.
And I can't wait to see Lillard in his first instance. Again, I didn't watch him in college too much. I'm just assuming he was in this role that he was in Portland. Of it's all him and only him. He doesn't have to do it himself. So what if he only takes 10 shots one night when Giannis scores, you know, triple doubles on top of everybody else? It's going to be fun. just seeing Lillard play that free without any of the pressures of it's all you, man. Number zero. It's all on you.
I found something Giannis said to be interesting, though, at the end of that interview. He said, at the end of the day, I want to be a Milwaukee Buck for the rest of my career.
Oh, yeah. Well, why not?
As long as we are winning. So that still kind of leaves it out. Like, if something's not, they don't get a title this year, he could still maybe talk his way out of town. That as long as we are winning, just kind of stood out to me.
Well, he's flexing his muscle because he's Giannis.
And he's got a lot of muscle. Did you see him right there?
So many muscles. Oh, man. His muscles have muscles.
He was swole right there.
So let's talk a little bit of muscling. As you know, James Harden wants to muscle his way out of town.
Yeah.
And he told all of China.
Twice.
That I'm never playing for a Daryl Morey general managed coach team again. And he said, let me repeat that, which is why you're referring to twice.
Yeah.
So, what does Daryl Morey have to say about that? He has not spoken publicly since all of that.
Oh.
Here's Daryl Morey on that subject matter.
Yeah, I would say it was hard. I mean, I think there are many people who have worked with him for some time, but I've been, you know, right there with anyone else. And look, I think he's a heck of a basketball player. I like him as a person. You know, it was hard, I think, that he felt like that was the right course of action for him at that point. You know, what else can I say? I think he's a tremendous player that will help us if he chooses to be here. And, you know, right now that's not where he wants to be.
Well, it does appear he's, since that soundbite, he's had either a change of heart or he realizes there's no other options for him than to report. Woj tweeting out that Harden didn't practice at Colorado State University on Tuesday where the Sixers are, but he's expected to arrive in Colorado as soon as today to join training camp. So there's that.
Awkward.
I mean, the Sixers lead the league in having guys who don't want to be there working out with them, right?
Yeah, at some point.
Is he going to have a cell phone in his pocket or the rest of the media will think it's a cell phone in his pocket? It's really not a cell phone in his pocket?
And Embiid's got to be like every year, like you said, it's something. I got some teammate who doesn't want to be here.
Well, other than that,
how
I
much
mean,
longer till he says, I don't want to be here?
That's what I'm worried about.
Well, that's the whole point, is that if Batman's not going to get a ton of Robins like the ones in Milwaukee and Boston, then how far behind are you, right? I mean, didn't Allen Dallas say before, big Giant fan, like, hey, it's Knicks season? Like, okay, great. Let's go with that plucky team one more time to hopefully get that four or hopefully get the three seed, right? With the Celtics and the Bucks, or either one or two right there. Let's hope to get the three seed, win our first round series, and then take on one of those two teams. Like, that's basically your best path to the basket, unless, of course, you're the Miami Heat, and it doesn't matter.
Well, and Giannis got hurt last year.
And Jimmy Butler showed up, as we all know, is what, Emo or Evo? What was he?
Emo.
Yeah. Thank you. And had this to say about doing Heat things once again.
Jimmy, for you at this point, is it just about a championship?
Yeah, it's always been about a championship for me. And it will always be about that. Nothing else. And this is our year. This is the one. And this one's going to feel real good, by the way. This one's going to hurt.
This one's going to hurt.
I mean, they were barely a playoff team last year, and they didn't get any better. So I don't know what he expects to happen.
What he expects to happen is everybody thinks it's either Milwaukee or Boston's world that we're paying rent in. It's tough to make a point with TJ on screen with his hair in that wig right now, but well done.
Where
looks
did you
good.
Get that wig?
Emo Jefferson.
He probably had it.
Yeah. Do you have that at home? Is what it is?
Oh, turn the mic on.
Hold on. You got turn your mic on.
I got some
sorry,
things.
Sorry, Emo.
I got some things at home. You know.
I mean, TJ, you definitely have
I
that
don't want to know what you're doing at home.
Well, I mean, two things. He's basically saying it's going to hurt. Nobody's talking about the Heat now. The Portland Trailblazers decided not to make a trade with the Heat. Although, like we said yesterday, can't imagine they'd gotten the haul that they got through the straight up three team trade for Lillard and then the straight up trade for, you know, Holiday just by going straight up with the Heat. Yeah, you know, it'd be tough to think that. But that's what he's saying. Like, don't forget us. Oh, yeah. I like it.
Golden State, Clippers, Lakers.
That's right. We haven't even heard from Golden State.
We haven't talked about it. There. We haven't mentioned
Sacramento, Phoenix, Denver. The West is so stacked, where in the East, it's like, who can break through Milwaukee and Boston?
Philadelphia, if Harden comes back and is engaged. I don't know.
Yeah, you can't count this out.
Coach
Tibbs
and the plucky Vegas Spheres. I don't know.
He looked skinny, James Harden, at the MLS Cup thing the other day.
I mean, if James Harden shows up and wants to play basketball for the Sixers and win a championship for Daryl Morey, even though we told him the largest nation on earth, he would never do it. Most populous nation on earth. And that's a lot of people that he told Daryl Morey he would never play for.
Yeah, Atlanta's still there. Orlando's going to be better.
Did you notice one thing about all of these interviews that you see? Pretty much. Why do NBA players grab the microphones?
I don't know.
Every other sport, most athletes show up to these press conferences with the microphones in a stand, and they just leave it there and they talk into it. The NBA players, they're grabbing the mics.
I noticed that with Dirk years and years ago.
Right.
That he was
Durant
kind of the first
it.
One that I've seen.
LeBron did it.
Yeah.
I like it. It's more personal.
Isaiah, Manuel Quickly. Look at this.
Yeah.
Austin Reeves, the original him.
Well, the one on the left. Why don't they just grab the mics? Look at Durant. It's like he's having a TED Talk. There's LeBron right in the middle saying he's not the face of the Lakers anymore. It's Anthony Davis.
At first, I was thinking because there wasn't a table in front of any of those guys on the Bucks. But
well, the
Bucks,
he likes to put them in a chair and then they give them the mic. But I think NBA players like just holding
the
microphone.
They just like grabbing it and holding it. Should we do that around here?
We can't. Right, yeah. Mike? Sorry, Mike.
I've tried to pull this out a few times.
This won't work. You cannot grab the microphone.
What if I just do this?
You're going to break the microphone and I'm going to have to
walk around with it.
Well, here's the thing is we can't hold microphones like NBA players. But we can go full emo like NBA players, for sure. And let's see if you can tell who's who. Sorry, radio audience. We got a Roku channel feed. Oh, sorry. There you go. You got TJ. Can't tell if it's you or Jimmy Butler over there. Can't tell.
I think I need a new name.
All right. Let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial right here on the program. We'll finish up with your phone calls on a fun Tuesday show.
Millions of listeners and thousands of five-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
Who's the person in the NBA front office who had to show emo to Adam Silver? What do you think?
Probably my man Tim Frank.
Is that what it is? Tim Frank?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, somebody.
Hey, Commissioner, here. Let me show you on my phone.
Here's what Jimmy Butler's doing.
So that's basically whenever he's showing up on TNT or whatever. That's
type of graphic.
That's the headshot?
For the rest of the year. Yeah.
Oh, wow. There it is. It's almost lifelike. Can't tell the difference.
TJ, you could take out your braids, right, and straighten your long hair?
Yeah. Is that?
No. These are dreadlocks. They're locks, man. They're locks. The only way to get them out is to cut them.
Let's cut them.
No. Are you kidding me? I'm like Samson.
So then how did he do this? Is that a wig?
He grew his hair out and then he straightened it. He's looking like a pimp named Slipback.
By the way, that is an incredible part. That is an outstanding hair part.
And he had like fake rings in his lips and his nose eyebrows. And his eyebrows.
Well, I mean, it's a commitment.
Fake? He painted his nails black. I mean, he went all in.
You think he really got three lip piercings?
100%.
Just for a bit? For
you
one day?
Fake, you can get fake ones.
No, yeah, I think
he didn't get it really done.
Maybe he
didn't really pierce his eyebrow.
Maybe he did.
Maybe he did.
He might be a method actor.
That's,
you know?
It's a commitment.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, that's committing to the bit right there, man.
I mean, if you're going to go.
But he definitely had to have gotten his hair done, full on makeup, artist, the whole thing. That had to be like an hour and a half in the chair before, don't you think?
Well, people were laughing yesterday, and he was just like, come on, guys, stop making me laugh. I'm like, I'm trying to.
Because those things would fall out of his mouth if they're not real.
Like, he walked out, and everyone in Miami was just laughing. Fantastic. And he's like, come on, guys, I'm trying to like be serious with the bit here.
It's fantastic. I love it. All right. Well done. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Later on, we've got the latest What the Football podcast, Susie Schuster, Amy Trask. They're getting ready to come out here and record it for you to download wherever you get your podcast. There's our YouTube page. You can watch it. Kurt Warner is going to be zooming in. And that show is brought to you by our friends at Game Time. It is a frustrating ticket buying experience world for so many people. I understand it. I'm one of you as well. But I'm just telling you, ever since I got a Game Time account and ever since I started using Game Time to search for tickets, it has been so easy because they are obsessed with finding ways to help you save money on tickets. Tickets, the deals, they have them right up to the start of the event, even an hour after it starts. It's the place to find last-minute tickets. And Game Time Guarantee, there's a Game Time Guarantee that means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It's so simple, too. You can buy tickets in seconds with two taps. You see the view from your seat before you buy. All-in prices show your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Do what we did. Download the Game Time app. Create an account. Use the code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create your account. Redeem the code RICH for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Alana has been hanging on in New York City for 2.5 hours. What's up, Alana? Thanks for hanging in there.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're great. What's going on?
So I would say I'm pretty happy with the two sports. I was happy. The two sports I follow being coached by Mike McDaniel and Buck Showalter. But I was very surprised when he was fired, and I was wondering if you guys were also surprised.
TJ, you're the Met fan. Were you surprised, sir?
This whole season was a surprise to me. I had such high hopes, and then we lose our reliever and before the season even starts, and then it all went
down. But how is it Buck's fault?
Well, you know, that's how it always happens. You're the manager. You're the head of the team.
But how's it his fault? Max Scherzer, you know, shot, basically. Verlander, you know, isn't –
I think
isn't it the fault of the guy who gets the two guys pushing 40 to be your starting pitchers?
I mean, that could be. But, you know, there was a lot of I don't know. It just did not work out the way I was hoping.
It surprised you, Alana, right?
It surprised the Met fans, the whole fan base, Alana. So it was a hard season. It really was.
How bad would it be for you just to become a Yankee fan, Alana?
My brother is. And I remember when he switched, he decided one day, he was like, I wanted to be different. But when I was little, my cousin got me a Yankees jersey, and my dad threw it out in front of her. So I think I have to stay with him now.
Thank you. That's the story I was trying to elicit. Thank you, Alana. Well done. Roger in York, Pennsylvania. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Roger?
Not much, Greg. Love the bracelets, by the way. I want to take you back to January, Lincoln Financial Field. The San Francisco 49ers were winning that game 3-0, and I can't remember where it was exactly out on the field, but pass play, Eagles.
Yeah, Hassan Reddick ruined the night. Hassan Reddick got in there and ruined the day, ruined the game, wrecked it.
Exactly.
That's what he wrecked.
I keep telling people that Brock Purdy is the MVP, in my opinion, of the NFL. He is a brilliant, he's a scholarly, smart quarterback. Mm. He is elite. Good God. Look back at his days at Iowa State. The man has been incredible the last 4 years of his life. And if you take that penalty or that bad botched non-call away in Philadelphia, you turn that game totally around. I think we have a totally different Super Bowl champ last
Well, Roger, year. Let's be – I mean, if you want to hit the Wayback Machine, I appreciate the call. You know, if you want to hit the Wayback Machine, Kyle Shanahan not challenging that pass to Devontae Smith in the first quarter on fourth down. I mean, if he had challenged that, it would have been incomplete. And they wouldn't have got the ball. I'm trying to talk to him, Mike, so stop talking to Brockman while I'm trying to engage him on there. What are you watching? What's going on over there?
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Playoff baseball is about to start.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. So great.
Sorry, Rich.
No, I just definitely got to talk about them Rangers and Rays.
I'm trying to listen
to you. But, in all seriousness, though, like if Shanahan had challenged that play.
They win that challenge.
And maybe Purdy is in a different position and you're not throwing it and Hassan Reddick wrecked the game. Here's the neat thing. This is the beautiful thing about the NFL. Usually more often than not.
They're going to play again?
Yes, sir. Week 13.
Yeah.
Week 13. And then this coming weekend, week 5. Those are the games I circled entering the NFC season. Week 5, San Francisco, Dallas, rematch of the divisional playoff game. Let's see if there's a different result. Week 13 at Philadelphia, NFC Championship game, rematch. Let's see if there's a different result. That's it. And we'll see who else can join the party. The Lions are attempting to. The Buccaneers are attempting to. The Seahawks are attempting to. The Rams are raising their hands saying, look at us. You know, we'll see if there's another team that can make a run over the next month. But that's the beautiful thing about it. But you sit here. Look, Purdy's been great. You know how I've been singing his praises. But the reason why you call defensive ends game wreckers is because Hassan Reddick can wreck a game like he did by wrecking Purdy's elbow and wrecked the game. Game was over. Legitimately wrecked the game for the 49ers. Man, I can't wait for that. And I appreciate today's program. A lot of fun with Lewis Black and Gerald McCoy in studio. And then Matt LaFleur of the Green Bay Packers on this program. Tomorrow, David Spade sitting in.
Nice.
In the guest chair. I'm heading to London after tomorrow's show. You can't get rid of me fast enough. I appreciate that. Again, What the Football with Susie and Amy Trask. Soon as we are done, and your ear gates and on YouTube, we're back to wrap this up on the Roku channel in a sec.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams, if you ask me to call my shot, this is the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.